This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In James chapter 3, we read these words. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. As you know, physical wounds can eventually heal. But as most of us also know, the lies and the hurtful things people say about you can cause wounds that hurt for years. No wonder God gave the eighth commandment: you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now, in his small catechism, Martin Luther gives this explanation of the eighth commandment. He says, we should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. Once again, Luther helps us understand that we break the eighth commandment not only by the evil things that we say, but also by the good things that we fail to say. In fact, as we will learn on Sunday, even the desire to save something bad is evil in God's eyes. With that said, let's examine the eighth commandment a bit more closely. First, the most obvious application of the eighth commandment is that we should not lie in public court as a false witness with the goal of charging an innocent person with a crime. Sadly, throughout history, people have conspired together to falsely accuse people in a court of law and thereby ruin their lives. However, false witnesses should heed this warning from Proverbs chapter 19. It says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will perish. King Solomon wrote that, and King Solomon is teaching us that there is a court where true justice will be observed. In other words, if you lie in an earthly court and condemn an innocent person, you will have to stand before God in His court, and on that day, your plots will be exposed. Now, please understand, there is nothing wrong with being a witness in an earthly court of law. I mean, if you are witness to a crime, or if you have information about a crime, then you can give testimony with a good conscience as long as you're telling the truth based on facts and not spreading mere rumors. However, as I mentioned earlier, many have not heeded God's warning about being a false witness. Many innocent people have been victims of false witnesses over the years. In fact, if you recall our gospel reading, our Lord Jesus Himself was accused by false witnesses during His trial. Second, the eighth commandment also applies to everyday life and not only the courtroom. In other words, we are to use our mouths to build up people rather than hurt them. Now, one way we hurt people with our words is when we betray a confidence. Let's say a friend entrusts you with personal information because that friend believes that you can help him or her. But instead of actually helping your friend with his or her problem, you decide to share his or her personal information with other people who have no intention of helping your friend but care only about hearing gossip. In fact, that takes us to the next way that we break the Eighth Commandment. We break it by speaking or listening to gossip. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul lists a number of sins such as murder, adultery, theft, idolatry, disobeying parents, greed, and so on. But one of the sins he lists in the middle of all of these is gossip. Now, what is gossip? Well, we gossip when we choose to say something about a person that may or may not be true, but in any case, our goal is not to help people, but merely to speak about their faults with others as some sort of morbid entertainment. In fact, even listening to such gossip is a sin because we are thereby encouraging the practice. You know, I'm afraid that the practice of gossip is very common in our lives, and it actually exposes the evil nature of our hearts. You see, we've learned that God wants us to defend our neighbors, to speak well of them, and to put the best possible construction on their behavior. But so often, we assume the worst of people, and we speak of them in ways that cause them pain and hurt. And you know, what's really sad is that such evil gossip happens even in a Christian congregation like this one. We need to remember that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are going to spend eternity together in God's love. And yet, the devil sometimes tempts us to treat each other as enemies. Oh, we may not oppose fellow members openly, but sometimes we can sure talk about them behind their back. My friends, this is a great evil, and God does not want such behavior in His church. That's why Jesus teaches us that if we have an issue with an individual, we should speak to that person face to face. Our goal should always be to speak to one another, not to put each other down or to hurt each other, but instead we should strive for reconciliation and mutual forgiveness. But sadly, so often we allow the broken relationships in our congregations to continue, and we go on to hurt each other with our words. My friends, remember what James said. How can we use our mouths to praise God and then use those same mouths to hurt our neighbor? This should not be. Finally, it's not enough to avoid speaking evil or even to avoid listening to it. God also wants us to defend our neighbor. But so often, we look the other way and we allow others to gossip about a person while we remain silent. God wants us to defend people when we hear others speak badly of them. Now, please understand, I'm not saying that we're supposed to lie. In other words, we should not pretend that people are innocent when their evil deeds are out there in public for everyone to see. Rather, the point I'm making is that we should not allow others to ruin a person's good name when we know that the facts may be otherwise. And you know what? Even if the gossip is true, we should still encourage each other to help the person rather than talking about him or her behind their backs. In addition, God wants us to go out of our way to look for the good in people and to build them up with our words. That's what Luther means when he says that we should put the best construction on people's behavior. So often we see somebody do something and we assume the worst possible motive rather than stopping to wonder if there might be a special situation in their lives. Our sinful nature so easily leads us to think the worst of people. My friends, if God could teach us to speak well of others, to go out of our way to build people up rather than tearing them down, what a wonderful world this would be. For example, many marriages would do much better if both spouses would daily go out of their way to speak kind words about the other. But far too often, the opposite is the case. In the same way, parents and children should speak kindly to each other. But far too often, we parents might put our children down, and children might speak disrespectfully to their parents. My friends, the fact is we are all guilty of breaking the eighth commandment in more ways than we can imagine. As your pastor, I must admit that I have to hang my own head in shame when I think over my 42 years of life and how many times I have broken the eighth commandment. My friends, what hope will there be when we liars and gossips stand in God's court on the final day? God should condemn us all as guilty of eternal hell because God has been a witness of every idle word we have ever spoken. But my friends, God gives us a word of hope this evening. God says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means you can approach God's throne of grace with confidence because Jesus took the punishment for all your sins, including your sins against the eighth commandment. Think about it. Jesus was falsely accused so that God can look at you and say, not guilty. God actually called Jesus a sinner on that cross so that through Jesus he could call you a saint. Because of Jesus, God now speaks good words to you. God looks at you tonight and says, you are forgiven. I love you. I'm proud of you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. God can say such good things about you because not only are your sins forgiven, but Jesus also has given you his perfect obedience. Jesus kept the eighth commandment for you. Jesus never spoke falsely about anyone. And even when he did point out people's sins, he did it to save them and to help them. Jesus kept the eighth commandment perfectly, and he has clothed you with his own perfect obedience. So when God looks at you, he looks at someone who has used their mouths perfectly. But there's more. Not only has Jesus clothed you with his own perfect obedience, Jesus also lives in you. And he has given you a new heart that longs to speak the good things of God. My friends, the hope we have tonight is that the same Jesus who has saved you, this same Jesus will help you to avoid speaking lies and gossip. Jesus will also move you to speak kindly of people, to build them up, and to defend them from evil lies and rumors. Yes, my friends, the same mouth that you use to praise God for his mercy and love, God will move you to use your mouth to be used by Jesus to build up your neighbor. But even more than that, Jesus will use your mouth to speak his word to others so that more and more people might hear the truth and be brought to repentance and faith in Jesus. My friends, as Jesus' mercy and love fills our hearts here at Concordia, as God continues to speak good words to us, He will transform our lives. And the divisive words in our sinful nature will be silenced. And the constructive words of Christ will flow out from our mouths as we build up each other in love and in the truth of God that sets us free. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all